Good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sukkah, Daf Nun Hei, the second to last Daf of Maseches Sukkah. The weekly share for Maseches Sukkah is sponsored by Yitz Weiss CPA, branched out in a new direction next tax season. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilu Nishmas, Vega Baschayim, and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. As we reach the finish line of Maseches Sukkah, so we had started talking about last week and past couple of weeks about the number of tekios that they would blow in the Beis HaMikdash during the Avoda, and we had an interesting shita of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina said that we are token hakol lefi hamusafin token, that if you have multiple musafs, then you're going to have multiple tekios, right? So those these tekios were centered around the karban musaf. There was also a shear. So every karban musaf had a shear and a set of tekios that would go along with it, that they would blow the tekios as they said the shear for that karban musaf. And the question became, let's say you have two karban musafs. Let's say it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. It's Shabbos and it's Sukkot. So every Shabbos we daven musaf because Shabbos has a karban musaf. Every Sukkot we say musaf because Sukkot has a karban musaf. What if it's Shabbos and Sukkot? You have two musafs, so each musaf, if it's on its own, you would have tekios, and you'd have a shear that goes along with it. Let's say they overlap, they coincide on the same time, Shabbos and Sukkot, or Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, so how many tekios do you blow? How many shears are you going to say? So Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina had the unique shita that he suggested that perhaps hakol lefi hamusaf in token. If you have two karban musafs on that day, you're going to have two sets of tekios, and you're going to say two different shears. So if it's Shabbos and Sukkot, you're going to blow the tekios for Shabbos and say the shear for Shabbos, and then you're also going to blow the tekios for Sukkot and say the shear for Sukkot. And the Gemara is in the process of rejecting that shita of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. That Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina says you blow tekios multiple times for the multiple musafim that are on that day. And we're going to now bring another question on that shita of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. We are on Nunhei Amud Aleph. We are in the third line, the word Mesve. Zumar asks, Mesve, the Tani Rabba Bar Shmuel, Yachol Keshem Shetokin Al Shabbos Bifnei Atmo. You may have thought that just like when it comes to Shabbos, you blow tekios that are special for Shabbos, and Al Rosh Chodesh Bifnei Atmo, and when Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week, you have special tekios for Rosh Chodesh. So perhaps, Kach Yiyu Token Al Kol Musaf Umusaf. I would have thought, the Havamina, I would have thought that maybe, that's just like Shabbos has its own tekios and Musaf, and Rosh Chodesh has its own tekios and Musaf. I would have thought that maybe that's also true when they overlap. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, like we just had last week, that Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh on the same day, they each have multiple musaf, maybe they're each going to have multiple tekios as well. Tamulomar uvra sheicha chechem. But no, we learn from the pasuk uvra sheicha chechem, as the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines how that drasha is learned, but we learn from that pasuk uvra sheicha chechem that that's not the case. That if Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out on the same day, you are not going to have multiple tekios, which is an explicit rejection of the shita of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Rabbi Acha would say that if it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, you have to have two sets of tekios, one for the Shabbos musaf, one for the Rosh Chodesh musaf, and this brisa says explicitly the opposite, that that's not true. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh on the same exact day and still only one set of tekios. So the Gemara concludes Tiyufta, the Rav Acha Tiyufta. We reject the Shita of Rav Acha Bar Chanina. So my Tamuda, the Gemara wants to clarify what exactly was the Limud. What exactly, how do we learn from the Pasuk Uvra Sheicha Chechem that you only blow one set of tekios when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out on the same day? How do you learn that from those words? So Gemara gives two suggestions. Number one, Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, Uvra Sheicha Chechem, Hokshu Kol HaChadashim Kulam Zelaze. And the pasuk says, "Uv Rashecha Chechem," the many Rosh Chodeshes, and it's hukash. It connects all the different Rosh Chodeshes throughout the year that they're all going to have the same exact process. So just like most of the Rosh Chodeshes fall out during the week and they have only one set of tekios, so even the unique case when the Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos is going to have the same process of only one set of tekios. That's one suggestion of how you learn that from the words Uv Rashecha Chechem. And number two, Rav Ashi Amar Ksiv Chodeshechem Uksiv Uv Rashe. Right, the word we read it as uvrashei chad sheichem as plural, but the way that it's written is written chad shechem, which is a singular. So the pasuk says uvrashei chad shechem, which is singular, but roshei is plural. So it's ksiv chad shechem uksiv roshei. Eze hu chodesh sheyesh lo shnei rashim, which is the month that has two heads, which rosh chodesh has another rosh associated with it. Havi omer zeh rosh hashanah. It's a reference to Rosh Hashanah, which is both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. The Amar Rachmana Chad Shechem, Chadhi, that even on that unique Rosh Chodesh, which has two different holidays associated with it, it's Rosh Chodesh, two different Roshes, it's Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, and still on then, you're only going to say Chad Shechem, Chad. You're only going to have one set of tekios. That's how you learn from the words Uv Rashi Chad Shechem, that you're not going to have two separate blowings for each of the musafs. No, it's Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, but you're still only going to have one set of tekios. So that's how we learn from that pasuk to reject the shita of Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. The Gemara doesn't stop. Gemara brings another question, a second tiyufta, a second issue with Rabbi Acha's shita. Some of the, we're going to read the Va'od Tanya, is going to be another question on Rav Acha, and some of the parashim want to figure out why we're bringing a second question on Rav Acha. We already said, we already concluded, Tiyufta de Rav Acha, Tiyufta, he gets it. We don't have to make it worse for him, to rub it in, let's bring on more reasons why you're wrong. So the Aruch Lener explains that if you look back on Nun Dalet from last week, the way that Rav Acha learned his rule was from a brisa that interpreted a pasuk. The pasuk had said, Yiske'u by the Bnei Aaron, and there was a brisa. He had a brisa that supported him that said a kol lefi hamusafim token. So he has his own brisa that supports him. Fine, you brought brisa number two that rejects him, but it's brisa versus brisa. Who says that one wins out over the other? So we're going to pile it on now. We're going to say, no, it's two against one. I have two brisos against you, Rav Acha. And so that's to really finalize the tiyufta against Rav Acha. We're going to now bring question number two, the second stira against Rav Acha. So the Gemara now continues with Ode Tanya. Another brisa says, this is talking about the shear. So as we said, each carbon musaf has tekios associated with it, and it also has a shear. They would read a perek of Tehillim that would be part of the process of bringing the carbon musaf. And this brisa goes through all the different shiras that they would say during Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. That each day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot had its own unique shear from a different portion of Tehillim. And if you look through Rashi, you can see there's a lot of big Rashis over here, where Rashi tries to explain the themes that come out of each of these prakim of Tehillim and what they have to do with the Yomtif of Sukkot specifically.
Sometimes you'll see in the Siddur they have a different shear, different sukkahs from the Gra. Is that, I guess?
Right. Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, a lot of the shear shel yom for the Gra is to, you know, to ditch whatever day it actually is and to do what the yom is associated with it. So yeah, I think so. Yeah, so we have over here the different days of Chol HaMoed. So, Ve'od Tanya, Ve'chol Lo Shamoed, and Chol HaMoed Sukkis, Barishon Mahayu Omrim, Havu LaHashem, B'nei Elim. They'd recite that paragraph of Tehillim, which Rashi points out. Eventually it says, Kol Hashem Al Hamayim, which would be an appropriate association to the Nisach Hamayim, which begins during Chol HaMoed Sukkis. Ben B'sheini Mahayu Omrim, Ula Rasha Amar Alokim, Bashlishi Mahayu Omrim, Miyakum Li Im Merayim, Barvi Mahayu Omrim, Binu Ba'ar, and so the six different days, they each have a different parak of Tehillim, or perhaps half of a parak. A lot of these also come from our daily shishal yoms. You can connect the dots later. Some from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday make up a whole bunch of these different shiros that they would say on the various days of Chol HaMoed. So that's six different ones. We're going to have a simon for what those six are in a second. But what about if Shabbos falls out on one of those days? Ve'im chal Shabbos be'echad mehem. What if Shabbos falls out in the middle of Chol HaMoed? So now you have the shir for Chol HaMoed. We have six unique shiros for Chol HaMoed. But now you have Shabbos on day two, for example. So are you going to say the day two Chol HaMoed, the shir? Or are you going to say the Shabbos shir? What are you going to do? So the Gemara says, Yimotu Yidche. Wait, the last one on the list, Bashishi, the last day of Chol HaMoed, they would say Yimotu. So that one gets knocked off. So if Shabbos falls out on the third day of Chol HaMoed, so day one, you'll say the day one shir. Day two, you'll say the day two shir. Day three, you'll say Shabbos. And then you'll push the rest of the forward. So day four, you'll say for day three, and etc. Whatever day Shabbos falls out, you'll say the Shabbos one. And with that, and then you'll just push them all forward. So you'll do one, two, Shabbos, three, four, five, and then six gets knocked off. The last day of Chol HaMoed, Yimotu, that's the one that we get rid of.
Is this just Chol HaMoed Sukkot or both Chol HaMoed?
So this is for Chol HaMoed Sukkis, and I think it relates, as we're going to talk about more later, is that on Chol HaMoed Sukkis, it's unique compared to Pesach, and that there is a different karban for each of the different days of Chol HaMoed Sukkis, so that's why they would have their own unique shear. Yeah. And also the themes from these paragraphs relate specifically to the holiday of Sukkot, and Rashi refers to like the maisros that they would take off, like at Shecha and Peya and Maiser Ani, which were during the Chag HaAsif period. So there are references to the themes of Sukkot in these shiros specifically. So now the Gemara brings a simon, Rav Safra Manach Behu Simana Hum Bahai. Now those are the six different shiros for Chol HaMoed Sukkot in that order. Hey Vav Mem Beis Hey Yud. And Rav Papa had a different order, so he had a different simon. Rav Papa Manach Behu Simana Hum Habai. He would, right, he flips the hay and the beis, the second and third to last of the shiros. The simanach, so you have a simon for Rav Safra, a simon for Rav Papa. What's a simon for me to remember who had each simon? How do I know which one was Rav Safra's and which one was Rav Papa's? So you have a simon for that too. A lot of simonim. The simanach ambuha de sifri. So ambuha de sifri is like a phrase from that time. It's a reference to that all the, it's like the army of the teachers. That they would, when they used to all gather by the alleyway of where the school was, where all the parents and the teachers and the kids would all get together, I guess when school was over. So that would, they would refer to that as the Ambuha de Sifri. That's the phrase that everyone apparently knows. And so that also reminds us that Rav Safra was the one who had the simon of Ambuha, right? Similar to Hum Bahai, which is the simon of Rav Safra. That's a simon for you to remember which was the shita of Rav Safra and which was the simon of Rav Papa. So again, we conclude, Tiyufta de Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Tiyufta. So how does it say Tiyufta, a rejection of Rav Acha? So the Gemara had said that the Braisa took it for granted. What are you going to do if Shabbos falls out on Chol HaMoed Sukkot? Let's say the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot is Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to know, are we going to say this year for Shabbos, or are we going to say this year for Chol HaMoed Sukkot? You know what Rav Acha would tell you? Rav Acha would say both. You're going to have multiple tekios, multiple musafim. It's Shabbos and Sukkot. So you'll have two musafs. You'll also have two tekios, according to Rav Acha, and you'll also have two separate shiros. Why is the Braisa assuming, oh, well, it's Shabbos, so you can't say the Chol HaMoed one? Rav Acha would say, in the Chanabi, say both the Shabbos and the Chol HaMoed one. The Braisa is clearly assuming, unlike Rav Acha, that we can't say both on the same day. Hakol HaVeim Musafim does not mean that you blow multiple times when it's Shabbos and it's Chol HaMoed. You have to pick one. So here we pick Shabbos, and therefore you have to pick the Shir of Shabbos, and that's why the Braisa assumes against Rav Acha that you have to push them all forward and you're going to lose out on one of the Shiros. So that's the second Braisa we brought to bring a Tiyufta, and we again conclude Tiyufta, the Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Tiyufta. The Gemara asks, the Harav Acha Bar Chanina, Kra'u Masnisa Kamar, but he had good support. Rav Acha at his own pasuk and his own brisa explaining that pasuk, and the brisa had said those words, hakol lufi hamusafim token. So how do we understand that brisa? Was that brisa just wrong? Was there a way perhaps for us to explain what that brisa meant and not have to completely throw it in the garbage? So it's possible that we could reinterpret those words of that brisa, which said hakol lufi hamusafim token, as not meaning you're going to blow multiple times for each musaf. It meant something totally different. Two suggestions. Amar Ravina, Lomar Shema Arichin Bitekios. When it said Akol Lofi HaMusafim token, you blow for each tekia, not that you blow multiple times, but you're going to lengthen the one set of tekios. You're going to have one set of tekios, but you're going to lengthen it. You're going to spread it out to last longer to symbolize the fact that there are two musafs today, that it's Shabbos and Chol HaMoed. But not like Rav Acha, that you're going to blow it twice. You're only going to blow it once, but you're going to lengthen the tekios to symbolize the double blowing. But you're not going to actually blow twice. And number two, Rabbanan de Kesari Mishmei de Rav Acha Amri Lomar Shemar Be Betoken. So Rabbanan explain that, no, it doesn't mean that you have multiple tekios. It means you have multiple blowers. Not multiple sets of blows, but multiple blowers. You can have more, double the number of people who were there to blow the shofars. You'd have double the number of blowers of token, but not double the actual tekios, the number of tekios themselves. So when the Braisa says, Hakol Lafiyah Musafim token, it's not like Rav Acha thought that you're going to blow two sets of tekios because you have two different musafs to bring. No, it meant you're going to blow that one set of tekios for twice as long, or it meant that you're going to have two times the number of blowers, right? All this to symbolize that there is a double kedusha over here. It is Shabbos and Chol HaMoed, but no one thinks that you're actually going to blow two sets of tekios, and that's how we can explain that braisa and that pasuk, even though we've rejected the shita of Rav Acha. So that's all about the number of blowings that would be done in the Beis HaMikdash when it was Shabbos and Chol HaMoed. But now it gets a little more Lamaisa. The Gemara says, Lamaisa, what about nowadays? The Anan, the Islan Shrei Yomi. Now, you have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So, Hechi Avdinan, what should we do? Not in terms of in the Beis HaMikdash when they have to blow, how many blows are they going to do, or which shir are they going to sing, but what should we recite in Tfilas Musaf? Rashi explains it, talking about the davening in Musaf, like we all do, when you're davening Musaf on Yontif, so you get to that section of, you have to pick which paragraph to recite. You have to pick, is it for first days of Pesach, last days of Pesach? Is it the first days of Sukkot? Which day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot is it? Shmini Atzeres, Hashana Rabbah? You have all the different selections from your Siddur. What are those selections? That's where we want to recite the Psukim associated with the Karban of that day. And the process of that day. But now we have a Yom Tov Sheni Misafik, right? This is talking in times of the Gemara where they weren't sure, those who were far away from Yerushalayim, they didn't know which day was really Yontif. So there was those at this year that I spoke about this a lot more at length than I will now. But the general situation that the Gemara is referring to is when they were Mekadesh al Pi HaRe'iyah. They would determine the Rosh Chodesh not based on the fixed calendar, but based on the people seeing the moon and going to Beis Din and saying, hey, I saw the moon. They'd say, cool, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on this day. And then they have to go and they have to go spread the word. So first they spread the word with the fires, and that was bad. Then they spread the word with the messengers. So the messengers would go out to the faraway places and tell them, hey, everybody, Rosh Chodesh is on this day. And therefore, that's how you know when to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot, let's say. But let's say you live very far away. Let's say you live far away, and by the time the messengers actually get to you, you're not going to know before the Yontif of Sukkot begins. So you're not going to know, does Sukkot begin on Monday, or does it begin on Tuesday? I don't know, because the messengers didn't get here yet. So they would have to keep a Yom Tov Sheni Misafik. They'd have a real Sfeik of the Yoma. They're not really sure which day is the real first day of Sukkot. So they would treat both like the first day of Sukkot. And the Gemara in Beitza says in Daf Dalet that even nowadays when we have a set calendar, that Hillel HaSheni was Koveya all of the Rosh Chodesh is for the entire eternity. So we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh really is, and Lamaisa, we know exactly when Sukkot really begins. But still, Minhag Avoseichem B'Yadeichem, we follow the Minhag that they used to have. If somebody would have lived in Pesach in the times of the Beis HaMikdash near Mekadesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah, they wouldn't know which day was the first day of Sukkot. So we're going to follow that Minhag. We're also going to keep 2 days of Yom Tov Rishon. We're going to have two Yom Tov Rishons. Mi Safik, that's our Sfeika Diyoma. In Achanami, we do know, but we act like we don't know to follow their minhag. So now, what should we recite? You can think about what we actually do when we recite Musaf on Yontif and Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. The dilemma begins. We have said there are six different shiros, and there are different karbanos that are brought for each different day. And so on day one, first day of Sukkot, you're definitely going to say Bayom HaRishon. That's not the, I think it's Bechamisha Asar Yom. Let's call it Bayom HaRishon. You're going to say Bayom HaRishon on day one. Now you get to day two, and you're in Pesach, and you're keeping Yom Tov Sheni. You're going to say Biyom HaSheni? No way. Biyom HaSheni is a Chol HaMoed paragraph. That has to do with the karbanos that were brought on Chol HaMoed. I'm acting like today is really Sukkot. I'm making Kiddush like it's really Sukkot. I have to say Biyom HaRishon again. So day one and day two, I'm going to say Biyom HaRishon on both of those days. It would be a zilzul, a disgrace to say that today is Chol HaMoed, Biyom HaSheni, but I'm still acting like it's really Yom Tov Rishon. So day one and day two, you're going to say Biyom HaRishon. So now, you have only 5 more days of Yontif until Shmini Atzeres, only have 5 more days of Sukkot, but you have 6 more days of paragraphs of Kriyas HaTorah, and for what we're going to Kriyas HaTorah also, but paragraphs for the Tfilas Musaf. So you still have Biyom HaSheni, Biyom HaShlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi, and Shishi, and Shvi'i, but I only have 5 more days left, because one of my Chol HaMoed days was swallowed up by Yom Tov Rishon, my Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So I only have 5 more days left for 6 more readings of the paragraphs of Kriyas HaTorah to put into my Tfilas Musaf. So what should I do? So the 2 different options that Gemara is going to say is either we're going to push them all forward and we'll lose out on the last one. Right, so we have 6 more days of paragraphs, but only have 5 more days to do it. So we'll just lose out on Yom HaShvi'i, but the last of the paragraphs. Or we will lose out on the first one. So the first one, we were supposed to be Yom HaSheni on day 2 of Sukkot, but we couldn't because it was really Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. So then, just lose out Yom Sheni. You just won't say Yom HaSheni ever again. And you'll start Yom HaShlishi, right? The third day of Yontif, which is your first day of Chol HaMoed, you'll say Yom HaShlishi. You'll say what it actually is. So those are the two different shitos in the Gemara as to how we're going to handle this disconnect of we have a certain number of days to say, but a smaller number of days to actually say those different paragraphs in our Tefilas Musaf. So Abaye Amar Sheni Yidche. Abaye says that Sheni Yidche. You lose out on the B'yom HaSheni paragraph. B'yom HaSheni you were supposed to say on the second day of Sukkot, but you couldn't because it was Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. It was your Sfeika the Yoma. So you Yidche, you lose out on the Yom HaSheni, and you'll say the rest on their appropriate days. But Rava says, no. Rava Amar Shvi'i Yidache. No, whenever you begin your Chol HaMoed, you'll say B'yom HaSheni. So on your third day of Sukkot, which is our first day of Chol HaMoed, you'll say B'yom HaSheni. And on day four, you'll say three and five and six. Eventually, you're just going to lose out on the B'yom HaShvi'i. You're never going to say the final of those paragraphs. And Tanya Kava say de Rava, and Rava brings a support for his shita that you lose out on the last one based on what we just said above. Imchal Shabbos Lios Be'echad Mehen, by the earlier brisa, by the shiros that they would say in Chol HaMoed. But they had a certain number of shiros, and the Gemara said, let's say Shabbos falls out in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So you're going to have to say the Shabbos shir on that day. So which of the different shiros do you have to subtract because you're going to insert the Shabbos one instead? So he said, Yimotu Yidche. Yimotu was the last one, just like by the shiros of that they would say when they brought the carbon. They had a different shear for each day, and if Shabbos fell out, then they had to lose that one. They lost out the last one. They nixed the Shvi'i, the last day of Sukkot. So too by us as well, when it comes to the paragraphs within Musaf, we're going to lose out on the last one. We'll push them all forward, and we're going to lose out, and we're going to skip the Shvi'i. But what do we do, Lamaisa? We do the following. Iskin Amemar Benaharda Dimedalgi Dilugi. Amemar was metakin that in Naharda they'd be medalig dilugi, they would skip backwards. What does that mean that they would skip backwards? So it's what we do. So let's walk through it. So day one, we're gonna say that it's the first day of Sukkot. Day two, we're not gonna say Yom HaSheni. We're gonna say it's the first day of Sukkot. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, we treat it like it's really Yom Tov Rishon. Day three, you say three, but you also say two. You go backwards. You're going to say day two and day three. And then day four, you're going to say three and four. Eventually, you get to the end of Sukkot. You're going to say six, seven, and then boom, you start Shmini Atzeres. And this way, you capture all the different days by reciting this double portion. That's what we do, Lisa, in our paragraphs for Sukkot. But we basically say the actual Sfeika of the Yoma. When you get to the third day of Sukkot, which is our first day of Chol HaMoed, the Sfeika of the Yoma is it really day two or is it day three? So we'll say both two and three. And throughout the Chol HaMoed Sukkot, we're going to end up saying two paragraphs. And when you get to win out, you don't have to kick out any of them. You don't have to kick out Shvi. You don't have to kick out Sheni. You get to say everybody. And and everybody gets to be all happy. That was the Takana of Amemar, which we do Lamaisa as well.
We don't do Yantif 1 and Sheni.
Right, so that will be so the assumption of the Gemara is that it will be a zilzul to say on Yantif the portion that's associated with Chol HaMoed. So to say, I am Tavsheni, I'm making Kiddush, but also today's really Chol HaMoed, and it's all just a joke because Minagav Zechem Be'edichem would be very inappropriate. So we're not going to do that. So it's off limits to say Chol HaMoed paragraphs on Yom Tavsheni. That's the Gemara's assumption, as Rashi explains as well. How does this extend to Kriyas HaTorah, where things also get funky? Kriyas HaTorah, we basically want to do a similar thing, as Rashi points out. The Gemara is talking about the Tfilas Musaf, which paragraph you put in. Rashi takes the opportunity to say, we have the same minhag when it comes to the laning during Chol HaMoed Sukkot that you want to read. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's so super easy. I know Midnight Yisrael, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, it's amazing. They're the back of their sitter for the lanings for Chol HaMoed Sukkot. It's a piece of cake. If today is the third day of Yontif, B'yom HaShlishi, everybody, all four aliyos say B'yom HaShlishi because there's no Sfeika D'yom in Eretz Yisrael. They know exactly which day it is. So you have four aliyos straight of the same B'yom HaShlishi, B'yom HaShlishi, B'yom HaShlishi, B'yom HaShlishi. And for the same for the rest of the Chol HaMoed, nice and super easy. But us in Chutz La'aretz, where we have this Sfeika D'yom, so Rashi says that we do like Amemar said. Just like Amemar says that on the paragraph for your Musaf, you're going to say, B'yom HaSheni, B'yom HaShlishi, B'yom HaShlishi, B'yom HaRavi'i. So too by Kriyas HaTorah, you want to make sure that you say both. Okay, Shkayach. Everyone agrees. You want to say both Sheni and Shlishi, right? First, let's keep first day of Chol HaMoed. You want to say B'yom HaSheni and B'yom HaShlishi. But I ask you, you have four aliyahs to fill out. You have four different guys that are going to read from the Torah, and you have two different days that you want to say. So how do you split them up? How do you split up the two different days into four different aliyos? So that becomes a big machlokas rishonim, which I brought in the PDF. If you look at the WhatsApp that I sent, the PDF is mostly for the Mishnah that we're going to see on Nunhei Amidays. But on the bottom, he did amazing work. This is from Rabbi Simon Wolf, who is a Rav in Beit Shemesh, I believe. And he puts out PDFs that have like organizations of the complicated stuff. So you see on the first page, it's very complicated. We're going to get to that later. But on the bottom of the second page, he organizes all the different shitos harishonim in terms of how you're going to break out the Kriyas HaTorah on Chol Hamoed Sukkos. So let's focus on the first column's worth. You can look at this in depth more on your own later as you go to the left, and you can see the laning for each of the different days of Yontif. But there's three main shitos that we're going to discuss. The first one is Rashi, which is the shita of the Ramah as well. That's the second paragraph, but that's the second table. And do you people see what I'm talking about on the very bottom of the second page? Yeah. If you zoom in on the very bottom of the second page, there's like four different tables that say Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. That's
Rashi.
Yeah, so that's four different shitos as to how those four aliyos split out. What we are familiar with in Nesach Ashkenaz is the shita that Rashi brings, which is the second table over there. So you see the first aliyah, if you see, I'll read it and hopefully tell me if you can see what I'm talking about. In the second table, that first column going down, and the first box is Yom HaSheni, then Bayom HaShlishi going down, then Bayom HaRavi'i, and then Bayom HaSheni, Bayom HaShlishi. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So what Rashi points out, the Iker is, what really matters is that the last Aliyah, the Revi'i, has to say the real Sfeika the Yom. So the first day of Chol HaMoed, it's maybe Sheni, maybe Shlishi. So that Revi'i Aliyah, we have to say both Beom HaSheni, Beom HaShlishi. That's the Iker. So how do you fill out the first three? So Rashi says, and this is what we do, you start off with the Sfeika the Yom. Rishon says Beom HaSheni, and then the Sheni says Beom HaShlishi. Those are the 2 days that it might be. What about the third Aliyah? We're stuck now. I know what Revi'i has to be. I know what one and two have to be. What's number three going to be? So Rashi says, just do the next day. Why the next day? Today's either two or three. It's definitely not four. But still, Rashi says you can say anything there. So we'll just say the next day. We'll just go Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi, Yom HaRevi'i, which is really off the board, but just to fill the Aliyah. And then you do the Iker, Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi. That's the Shita of Rashi, and that's how we paskin in our Ashkenazi Sidurim. If you go down a box, or also up, it's the same thing, I think. It gets more complicated later. But the other shita is a shita of Tosfos. Yeah, let's go down. Tosfos is the shita in the box right under that, where he says, no, you'll just say, Biyom HaSheni, Biyom HaShlishi, or Biyom HaSheni, Biyom HaShlishi. Where we have 2 days to say, and four aliyahs to do it. Easy math. Just do each one twice. So you do Sheni, and then Sheni for the first aliyah, Shlishi for the second aliyah, and then again, Sheni for the first aliyah, Shlishi for the second aliyah. That's a shita of Tosfos. But on the top, which those are the two that are on our page over here, Rashi and Tosfos, the two different shitos. And in the back, the Rif, which is what the Shulchan Aruch, I think this is what the Sephardim Paskin like. We have to get our Sephardi consultants to tell us. But go to the top box. The top box is the shita of the Rif that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that you say, Beyom HaSheni, it's very similar to Rashi. You're going to say Sheni Shlishi for the last aliyah, 100%. You want to say the Sfil Sfeika the Yoma during the last aliyah. The first aliyah is going to be Sheni. The second aliyah is going to be Beom HaShlishi. What about that third aliyah? You have to fill it with something. Just say Shlishi again. So they'll repeat. Why would you say Beom HaRevi? Today's not Yom HaRevi. Tomorrow is Yom HaRevi. Today is maybe two, maybe three. It's definitely not the fourth day of Yontif. So don't say Beom HaRevi. Say again Beom HaShlishi. So a whole bunch of different shitos. And within Rashi, where it gets funky, if you go in the Rashi table, the second table down. If you go to Rashi all the way at the left, when you get to Hoshana Rabbah, so you kind of run out of days. When you get to Hoshana Rabbah, so you wouldn't want to say Beyom HaShmini. You can't say today's Shmini Atzeres because I want to fill out with my third Aliyah. I'm going to say tomorrow's day. I can't say today's Shmini Atzeres if it's Hoshana Rabbah. That's a totally different Yantif. Regal B'fnei Atzmo. So Rashi gets stuck. So Rashi says that you have to do same exact thing again. Chamishi, Shishi, and then Shvi. And then Shishi, Shvi. So you can't say Beyom HaShmini in your wild card aliyah, because that would be ridiculous to say today Shmini Atzeres when it's not actually Shmini Atzeres. So that's all the different shitos. How we come out Levaisa is like the shita of Rashi. That's how the Ramah Paskins. I believe Sephardim are like the Shulchan Aruch, which is like the riff on the top that they'll just repeat the Yom HaShlishi again to fill it out. But that's all the different shitos that we have on our daf and how they come out in the Shulchan Aruch, which is a very cool Levaisa application. And the tables are really great. So yesh koach to Simon Wolf, who I stole them from. Okay, So now on to Nunhei Amud Beis. Nunhei Amud Beis is going to discuss the way that they would divvy out the korbanos to the different kohanim. There were different mishmaros, right? All the different families of kohanim were broken out into 24 different groups. And each group would have their own week where they were the ones who would do the avoda. And doing the avoda is amazing because you get to keep all the extra stuff that doesn't get burnt up. You get to eat the meat. You get to keep the skins that you want to keep for your own personal use. So each mishmar during the year, regular during the year, each mishmar gets their own week, which is their week, and they get to keep all the stuff. They get to do all the avoda. No one else is allowed to go into when it's your week. No other kohen from his own mishmar group can't go in when it's your week to do the avoda and to get the korbanos, except on Yontif. Pesach also interesting, but on Yontif we're actually going to see this on our Mishnah on the bottom of the Nehemiah days. Yontif is an exception that on Yontif it's a fair game. All the kohanim are allowed to come and to join in on the korbanos that are associated with that Yontif. So there's one mishmar, so that you're still going to have like regular korban tamei that's brought every single day. So the mishmar that it's like their week, they're going to bring like the regular stuff, the regular tamei and any other regular korbanos. But the Yontif korbanos, that is fair game for all the mishmaros. All kohanim can come and they can partake in whichever of the Yontif korbanos that they want to have. For most Yontifs, there aren't so many korbanos, so they have a lottery. The Gemara in Yoma discusses, the Mishnah discusses the lottery that they would have to divvy out to each to decide which kohen gets which korban, because you have such a limited number of korbanos that you kind of get stuck. But Sukkis, we have a whole bunch of korbanos. Let's go to the PDF again, because the PDF on the top is a really good just a organization of which korbanos are brought on the Yontif of Sukkis. On the PDF, on the first page, on the very top, it delineates, I put my phone sideways so you can see the whole table at the same time, it delineates all the different korbanos that are brought throughout the holiday of Sukkis, and you see that there are a whole bunch. So there are parim, which start out with 13, and then as we know, each day of Sukkis that goes on, you bring one less par. The Elim, it's two throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. Seirim, there's one throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. And the Kavasim, there's 14 throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. So there's always two Elim, one Seir, and 14 Kavasim. But the number of Parim, the number of bulls, goes down throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. You're always going to have one less Karban. So the first day of Yontif, you're going to have X Karbanos. The next day, you're going to have one less Karban. The next day, you're going to have one less Karban for the holiday of Sukkis, because you always have one less par being brought. And that's a lot of Karbanos. So you have 24 Mishmaros, but a lot of Karbanos to bring. So we have an ability to actually forget the lottery. We can figure out a system to divvy out. We have more Karbanos than groups. So you have an easier way of, not so easy, you'll see the calculations in the Mishnah, but it's easier, lottery-free. You can still figure out who gets which Karbanos because you have more Karbanos than Mishmaros. 24 Mishmaros, and you have more Karbanos than that. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, is going to go through how we divvy out these Karbanos on the Yontif of Sukkis to the 24 Mishmaros. So the Mishnah says in Nehemiah the Beis, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on the first day of Sukkis, Hayusham Shlosha Asar Parim, right, there are 13 Parim, that's going to go down every single day. Elim Shnayim, two Elim, that's the same throughout Sukkis. One Seir, that's the same throughout Sukkis. That's 16 Karbanos so far. 13 to 1, you have 16 Karbanos so far. Nishtayru sham arba'asar kivasim lishmona. So that leaves over, if you look in the table, that's 13 and 2 and 1. You have 14 kivasim left over for the last 8 mishmarim. Right, well, let's go through the math for the first day, and the rest of the days you'll have to believe me that it all maps out. But on the first day, so you have 13 parim. What we're first going to do, we have 24 mishmaros. We're going to give each one a single par for each mishmar. So 24 mishmaros. On day one, you have 13 parim. Okay, so you gave out your 13 parim to the 24 mishmaros. And now you have, and then you also give out the two elim and the one seir. So you give out your 16 karbanos to the first 16 mishmaros. I'm sorry. And now you have 14 kavasim for the last 8 mishmaros. All right, 24 mishmaros total. So far, 16 got something. Now you have 14 kivasim to give out to 8 mishmaros. So how do you divvy out the 4? Now you have more karbanos than groups. You have 14 kivasim for the 8 groups of kohanim. How does that get divvied out?
How many people were per group?
I think it just goes by family. So depends how big your family is. I'm not going to judge people's family size decision. But yeah. So it's based on, we're going to see, if you look on the bottom of this PDF, it goes, Divya Yamim goes through which family was part of which mishmar. It's very wild. Mm-hmm. So we have now 14 kvasim. That's 14 animals. 14 lambs for 8 mishmaros. For 8 mishmaros. So how do you divvy that up? So Bayom Harishon, so the 14 going to 8 mishmaros, so how do you do that? So Shisha Makrivim Shnayim. So 6 mishmaros get 2. They get 2 kvasim. That's 12 of the 14 that we have. Now you have 2 left. You also have 2 mishmaros left. So that works out great. So 6 of our 8 are going to get double. And then Hashar, the last 2 mishmaros, Echad Echad, they each get 1 keves. So that's how it all gets broken out. So first you give out everything besides the kvasim. You see how many kvasim you have left and how many mishmaros you have left. And then you figure out a way of giving that out. So here we had 14 kvasim for 8 different groups. So 6 groups got 2 and 2 groups got 1. And the math all works out if you can check it later. It actually is, if you look in the bottom of the PDF, if you just pick like the first, let's pick the first column of the 24 mishmaros going down. So you see mishmar 1, 2, 3, all the way until 13, they all got their par. Mishmar 14 and 15, they got the 2 ayils. 16 got the seir. And now you have a whole bunch of kvasim. You have 14 kvasim to give out. So that's number 17 through 22, they got 2 kvasim each. And then the bottom, 23 and 24, they got the last 2 kvasim. That's how the numbers, that's how the all the parim and the elim and the seir and the 14 kvasim get divvied out according to all the different groups. And the same is going to continue throughout the yontif, but the moving factor, the variable here, is that the number of parim goes down every single day. So over here on day 1, we give out all the parim and the seir and the 2 elim. We had 8 mishmaros left. But tomorrow, when it's day 2, we have 1 less mishmar to give out. So we're now going to have, after we give out all the par, we're going to have 1 more group, because there's 1 less par. We're going to have 9 mishmaros to give out the remaining kvasim. And the next day, you're going to have 10 mishmaros to give out the remaining kvasim, because you're going to have 1 less group getting a par, because on each day, there's 1 less par to give out. So we're always divvying out 14 kvasim, but at first it's to 8 groups, then it's to 9 groups, then it's to 10 groups as each day goes on, and eventually it works out perfectly by the end of Yontif. If you're going to have 14 kvasim being given out to the remaining 14 mishmaros. So at the very end, it works out very, very nicely. But in the middle, in the interim, you're going to have 14 kvasim that get to give out to 8 people. And the next day, it's going to be to give out to nine groups, to 9 people, etc. As the Mishnah goes through. So the Mishnah goes through.
What's beautiful is how, instead of just starting each day anew with like the par, it's a continuation. So whatever you end off with of the last korban, they begin as a hemshech.
Right. That's the end, the last line of the Mishnah is going to emphasize.
Like each animal.
Exactly. That's the very important for the end of Mishnah.
Like 19, Mishmar 19 gets 2 kvasim 3 times, whereas Mishmar 23 and 24 never get a second.
Right. That's very interesting also. That's a very interesting diuk over there. Yeah, so the Mishnah and the Gemara apparently are less concerned about sometimes they got double kvasim and sometimes they got 1 keves. But what we do take very seriously is how many parim you got. That you're going to have some groups are going to get par, they're going to get a par 3 times, and the bottom 2 groups are only going to get a par twice. And that's a big deal. Parim, I guess, are very valuable, and that's a very expensive. It's a very nice meal. And that should be given out evenly. And that's what the Mishnah is going to be concerned about. So the Mishnah goes through the math for the rest of the days. You can check it on your own, but it all shapes out, and the PDF is a beautiful representation of that. So Basheni Chamisha Makrivin Shnayim. So now you're going to have 9 mishmaros to split out the 14 kvasim. So 5 get 2 each. Vashar Echad Echad. Bashlishi, where you have 10 mishmaros left for the 14 kvasim. So Arba'a Makrivim Shnayim Shnayim. Vashar Echad Echad. So 4 groups get 2 each, and then the remaining get 1 each. Baravi'i Shlosha Makrivim Shnayim Shnayim. Vashar Echad Echad. And on the 4th day of Yontif, you're going to have 3 groups that get 2, and then the rest of them get 1. Bachamishi Shnayim. When you get to day 7 of Yontif, you're going to have 14 groups that didn't get any of the pars or elim or the seir. 14 groups to get the 14 kvasim. That's everyone gets 1 kev. That's nice and beautiful. Bashmini Chazru lepayis kibur argalim. And in Shmini Atzeres, if you look all the way to the top of the PDF, Shmini Atzeres, there's only 1 par. There is only 1. Oh, it's not here. It's on the next PDF. Sorry. If you go to the second PDF, you can see it. On the second PDF, where it lists out Bayom Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Rabi, Chamishi, Shishi, Shvi, all the Kabanos. Shmini Atzeres, it isn't just, 6 parim because it's 1 less than the previous day. As we said in the Regel B'Fnei Atzmo, right, Pezer Keshev, that it has 1 less karban. It isn't just 1 less than the previous day. It has only 1. It has a unique yontiv in terms of its number of parim. That's a lot fewer Kabanos to give out. So you have 24 mishmaros, and everyone gets a piece of the one par. So how do you divvy that out? So that we say chazu lepayis, and the remaining kabbalos also. We have to give those out to people. We're going to use a lottery like every other yontif would do, have its own lottery. So Shmini Atzeres, it's like every other yontif. That was Pezer Keshev also. The Pezer Keshev, the six things that make Shmini Atzeres its own yontif, is the pious. It has a lottery, just like the rest of Yom Tovim, unlike the yontif of Sukkis. And then the last point, which Mitch already mentioned, is Amru, Misha Hikriv Parim Hayom Lo Yakriv Lamachar as La Cholzrim Chalila. So the cycle continues. If you brought a par yesterday, you don't get a par the next day. There's one exception, but general rule is you don't get a par the next day. We're going to make sure it's a running system. So those who got a par yesterday, those who didn't get a par yesterday are going to get a par today. This way everyone gets to be happy. It's a nice cycle that continues all the way through. So Gemara says, Nema Masnisen Rebbe Hi Velo Rabbanan. Maybe our Mishnah is like Rebbe and not the Rabbanan. Detanya Par Haba Bishmini. The par from Shmini Atzeres, but Chila Mefaisin Alav Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says, on Shmini Atzeres, when you only have that one par left, and you want to give that out to someone from the 24, so how does that given out? So the Mishnah says, we have a lottery. And Rebbe's Shita was that lottery is open to all 24 Mishmaros. So it's a fair game for any of 24 Mishmaros, they all get to join in the lottery for that one par of Shmini Atzeres. The Chachamim say no. Chachamim Omrim, Achas Mishtei Mishmaros, Delo Shalshu Biparim Ose Oso. As he pointed out, there are two Mishmaros out of the 24 who, in total, throughout Sukkis, they only got two Parim. All the other Mishmaros on the top 22, they all got three Parim throughout the process. If you look across, they each got a par three times. But the bottom two Mishmaros, they only got two Parim so far throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. So the Chachamim say, Shmini Atzeres, you have one par left. Don't give it to one of the guys who already got three. One of the Mishmaros that only got two so far, they'll be in the lottery to split the, to decide who gets the final par. That's Machlokas from the Rebbe and the Chachamim, and their Medayik, that our Mishnah, which says that Chazu Lepayis, that you have a whole lottery for Shmini Atzeres, it sounds like that lottery is open to all 24 Mishmaros. Like the Shita of Rebbe. And not the Chacham, that it's only going to be for those last two Mishmaros who didn't get three yet. Smart says, no, afilu tema rabbanan. Maybe our Mishnah is even within the shita of the rabbanan, and atu mishtei mishmaros lo afuse bai. Even according to rabbanan, that there are only two mishmaros who they didn't get three yet, so they're going to be the two that fight over that last par, but they also need a lottery. You still have to have a lottery to pick which of those two is going to be the one to get the par. And perhaps our Mishnah, which says that there's a lottery on Shmini Atzeres, was referring to a lottery not between all 24, but a lottery between the two remaining who haven't gotten three yet. Gemara asks, Kiman Azla Hadatanya, the following Braisa, who is this like? The Rabbanan or the Chachamim or Rebbe? The Braisa says, Kol Mishmaros Shonos Umishalshos, Chutz Mishnei Mishmaros Sheshonos Ve'ein Mishalshos. All of the Mishmaros, they got two and three. They got at least three parim throughout the Yontif of Sukkis, except for two Mishmaros, as we said, that only got two parim, the bottom two, number 23 and number 24, they only got two parim throughout the Yontif, but did not get three. So who is that Braisa going like? Nema Rebbe Velo Rabbanan. The Gemara now thinks that maybe this is unlike the Shita of the Rabbanan, because if you're the Rabbanan, every year, 23 Mishmaros end up getting three. Because you have the first 22 who get three out of Sukkis, and then out of those last two, 23, 24, one of them gets a Shmini Atzeres one. So what do you mean you have 22 Mishmaros that get three Parim? According to the Chachamim, you have 23 Mishmaros. You have the 22 from throughout Sukkis, and 23, the one who wins the lottery for the Shmini Atzeres par. So this Braisa seems to be against the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rabbanan, Milo Shilshu, Bipari Achag. They were referring to Dafka, the Yontif of Sukkis, and not counting the Shmini Atzeres lottery itself. So it wasn't counting the Shmini Atzeres par, and excluding that Shmini Atzeres par, the 22 Mishmaros, only 22 Mishmaros get three parim, and two do not. What's the chiddush of this braisa to teach us that as we said in the Mishnah, Hakamash Malon Mishrekiv Parim Hayom Lo Yakriv Lamachar Ela Chozrim Chalila. The point of this braisa is to say that most Mishmaros get three parim, but two only get two parim because as we have set up the system that it's going to be a rolling cycle to make sure that these parim are evenly split out. I'm not going to say that the first Mishmar gets a par every single day. We're going to set up a cycle where it's nice and fair. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hani Shivim Parim Keneged Mi. So we brought 70 Parim throughout the Yontif of Sukkis. On the very top, you can see, if you count up the 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, that adds up. The Parim throughout the Yontif of Sukkis add up to 70. What's that 70 Keneged? So the Gemara says, Keneged Shivim Umos. Rashi says it's a form of kapara for the Shivim Umos, the Umos HaOlam, that we're also getting a kapara not only for Klal Yisrael, but we're also trying to achieve a kapara for the Umos HaOlam. Why a kapara for the Umos HaOlam? So we're davening for rain, right? Nisach HaMayim, and this is a holiday where we are judged for rain for the remainder of the year, and rain is going to impact everybody. It's not going to be a miraculous rain that only falls on the Jewish crops. We want rain for the entire world, and so therefore we're achieving a kapara for the Umos HaOlam as well. Par yechidi lama. What's the single par of Shmini Atzeres? Keneged Uma Yechida. That's keneged the one single Uma, Klal Yisrael. Mashal lamelech basar vadam. There's a mashal to a king. Sha'amar la'avadav asuli se'uda gedola. The king said to his avadin to make a big se'uda. That's the 70 umos, which they have a big se'uda. Throughout Sukkot, there's a lot of karbanos. But then, on the last day of the festivities, Amar la'Oavo, he said to his beloved, to Klal Yisrael, Asali se'uda kitana, make for me a small se'uda, I'm going to get hana from you from the final small se'uda, that there's a lot of karbanos throughout the Antif of Sukkot for the Shivim Umos, but on Shmini Atzeres, there's one par, a small se'uda for Klal Yisrael themselves. There's a beautiful mashal, or explanation to this mashal from the Gaon Yaakov. The Gaon Yaakov is one of the Pirushim on the Ein Yaakov, which collects all the Agarata. And he asks, why is it only a small celebration for the beloved? Right. So I get, so you're gonna have a lot of karbanos for the Shivim Umos, but then when it gets to Klal Yisrael, why does it have to be a Su'uda Kitana? Why that a small celebration at Shmini Atzeres? If we're the beloved and we're Klal Yisrael, it should be an amazing big Su'uda. It should be an even bigger Su'uda than the one that's for the Shivim Umos. So the Gaon Yaakov says that there are two types of meals. There are meals that are focused on the food, and there are meals that are focused on the company, on the people that we have. And if the meal is about who you have there, so you don't need to have the fanciest food, you don't have to have a huge spread, because that could even detract from the camaraderie, that it's going to be a distraction. You're going to be so focused on the amazing food, you're not going to get to focus on the people that are there, the people that you invited to your meal. But sometimes you have a whole big feast, it's less about the people that are there, it's more about the quality of the food. So for the Shivim Umos, for the Yontif of Sukkot, which is for the entire world, not unique to Klal Yisrael, so that's a big Se'uda Gedola. That's less about the relationship that Hashem has with the different Umos HaOlam, but the final day of Shmini Atzeres, which is a unique day, a unique holiday for Klal Yisrael as the Uma Yechida. So the food's not important. It could be a Se'uda Kitana. What's more important is a day for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mark concludes, Amar Rav Yochanan, Oy lahem le'umos ha'olam she'ivdu, ve'einan yodim ma she'ivdu. Woe to the Umos ha'olam that they lost after the Churban. They lost the Beis HaMikdash, and they lost all those karbanos that were a kapara for them, and they had no clue. They didn't know what they lost. When Beis HaMikdash was around, they had a kapara from the Beis HaMikdash. The Achshav mi mechaper alayin. And now after the Chorban, there's no Beis HaMikdash left, and they're stuck. They don't achieve the kapara. They didn't appreciate, as Beis HaMikdash was around, that they had this kapara from Klal Yisrael's karbanos. And now that we find a way, we recite, we have Kriyas HaTorah where we recite the karbanos to be neshama parmes vaseinu, to be a kapara for us. But that does not have the same effect on the Umos HaOlam. Okay, a little complicated, but Yeshikoach for following along.